हेलो 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 ओके हेलो بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه الطاهرين ما دام ما في السماوات والأرضين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نسألك علما ينفعنا وارفعنا. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء. نوينا التعلم والتعليم والتذكر والتذكير والإفادة والاستفادة والحث على التمسك بكتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم، وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله. All thanks and praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his many blessings that he has bestowed upon us. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you endeavor to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be able to do so. We beseech Allah and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in those blessings. The greatest blessing without a shadow of doubt is the blessing of La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reify this declaration within our lives, within our hearts, cause us to live by it, die by it, and resurrect us on the day of judgment by virtue of this particular declaration. Alhamdulillah, we also thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for affording you and me the opportunity to come together to acquire that knowledge that will guide us to and guide us along the said path. I was reading a statement by Imam al-Rabbani al-Mujaddid al-Thani, and he was talking about the importance of worship. He talks about worship. So the Arabic term for worship would be a'mal. And then what the spiritual luminaries preoccupy themselves with would be a phenomenon referred to as ahwal. Ahwal translates and as conditions. But he says that the condition, which is the ahwal, spiritual openings, that comes off the back of a'mal. So in other words, in order for us to experience spiritual openings, that spiritual openings comes off the back of a'mal, of actions. So in order for our ahwal, our spiritual experiences to be correct, first and foremost, we need to rectify our a'mal. We need to rectify our actions. Now when our actions, our a'mal are valid, and then the spiritual experiences coming off of those a'mal would be valid. In other words, if we wanted spiritual experiences, it's going to happen through our ibadat. So the first step is for us to rectify our ibadat. And once our ibadat are rectified to that particular extent, we are going to experience spiritual openings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So this is our endeavor. Our endeavor is to come together to learn and to practice. He also talks about, Imam al-Rabbani also talks about two phenomena in relation to the acquisition of knowledge, or rather in relation to knowledge itself. There are two, what he refers to as mujahadat. There are two exertions. There are two types of efforts that are required. The one effort would be in the acquisition of knowledge, and we are busying ourselves with that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. So the one is the acquisition of the knowledge. The second relating to knowledge would be the effort required to take that knowledge which we have acquired and bring it into practice. So practicing upon that particular knowledge, Imam al-Rabbani puts it in a very, very nice way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to acquire the sacred knowledge and open up our hearts and our minds to understanding the sacred knowledge. And number two, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to practice upon this particular knowledge. When we get there, when we're practicing on that knowledge, we acquired the correct knowledge. And now we're practicing on that correct knowledge in the form of our acts of worship. And inshallah, that will culminate into spiritual experiences. spiritual openings by means of which we can gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us all of that. Allahumma akrimna bidhalik wa illam nakun ahlan lidhalik. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that even though we are not deserving, we're not worthy of that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His grace and through His mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants whomsoever, whatsoever He wishes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that. With that short preamble, we now come to lesson number 13. And lesson number 13 deals with the compulsory acts of tayammum. In our last lesson, that's now our next lesson. In our next lesson, we're going to be dealing with the shurut of tayammum. Shurut of tayammum, the conditions of tayammum. For now, we're going to start. So if you think about the order in terms of the al-mukhtasar al-latif, you may ask yourself the question, how come we're doing the arkan first and then we're doing the shurut? Because normally shurut precedes the arkan. Shurut, a shart, is defined as yalzamu min adami ala adam, wala yalzamu min wujudi la wujudun wala adamun. A condition is such that if it's found wanting, and then the mashrut, the given act of worship, cannot be found. For example, wudu is a shart of salah. Without wudu, you cannot have salah. So there are certain shurut of tayammum that will be discussed later. What we're going to be discussing now would be the compulsory acts of tayammum. In other words, the integrals of tayammum, without which you cannot have tayammum. Naam, arkanu tayammum. So we're going to look at the text now, bi'idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The text reads as follows. Furudu tayammumi khamsatun. The author says, Bafadl says, furudu tayammumi khamsatun. The word furud is the plural of the word fard. The word fard, the hukum of the word fard would be ma yuthabu ala fi'lihi wa yu'aqabu ala tarkihi, that you will be rewarded for doing it and you will be punished for omitting it. That is the ruling of a fard act. So furudu tayammum, furud, that is the hukum of the word fard. Then if we look at the definition of the word fard, it refers to khitabullah al-muta'alliq bi af'ali al-mukallafin. It is the address of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that relates to the action of a person. Yujibu alayhi amran. It makes something binding upon the person. If you wanted to, you say talab min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talaban jaziman. It is a dictate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is a necessary dictate which you need to fulfill. Furudu tayammum. Those are issues which we discussed. We're just revisiting them again. Furudu tayammumi, the compulsory acts of tayammum are five. Furudu tayammumi khamsatun. The compulsory acts of the tayammum are five. Khamsatun. There are five. They read as follows. Al-awwalu naqlu turabi. Al-thani an-niyatu. The first compulsory act of the tayammum. Tayammum literally means to intend, and technically refers to نقل التراب إلى أعضاء مخصوصة. It is referred to the transferal of dust from the earth onto certain body parts, in other words, the hands and the face, as we will see in a moment, بإذن الله سبحانه وتعالى. So فروض التيمم خمسة. I thought today I just got into this. There's a pre-recording of this class, ولله الحمد. So the recording that you may see on YouTube is somewhat different from our live recording. But just reading this evening, our evening in Cape Town, through the text, sometimes you fall into a certain pattern. So I'm falling into the pattern of reading and making tahleel of the text. فُرُودُ التَّيَمُّمِ خَمْسَةٌ. The compulsory acts of tayammum are خَمْسَةٌ. They are five. الْأَوَّلُ. The first one reads as follows. نَقْلُ التُّرَابِ. The first one would be to transfer turab, which refers to dust producing sand. نَقْلُ turab. Athani, the second integral of the tayammum would be an-niyatu, the intention. Let me just need to put off this program here, otherwise it's going to make a noise and potentially compromise, inshallah. Sorry for that. We go back to the program now, bismillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Barakallahu fikum. Now, the first would be to transfer the turab, the sand producing or dust producing sand. The second would be an-niyyatu, the intention. وَهِيَ نِيَّةُ إِسْتِبَاحَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. And it is an intention of making permissible the prayer. فَإِنْ كَانَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَرْضًا نَوَى إِسْتِبَاحَةَ فَرْضِ الصَّلَاةِ. If the prayer is a compulsory prayer, then the person will intend making permissible a fard prayer. Now that is the text of Bafadl. Inshallah, the explanatory notes are going to come along. The important part that we need to take from this initial text would be the following. Number one, فُرُودُ التَّيَمُّمْ خَمْسَةٌ, that the compulsory acts of the tayammum, they are five in total. That's number one. The second benefit we learn here from in terms of the text would be the first two integrals would be naqlu turab, transferring the dust onto your limbs. And number two would be an-niyyatu. Then the author gets into the little bit of the detail of the niyya. Don't worry too much about that. The important part here to understand would be that when you're making niyya, let's go back and we just revisit our wudu. When we're performing wudu, we make the intention of nawaitu raf al hadath. I hereby intend removing the state of ritual impurity. When it comes to tayammum, tayammum doesn't make raf'u al hadath. It doesn't remove the hadath, but rather, despite the hadath being there, it licenses you, it enables you, it makes it permissible. And that's where the word istibaha comes from. It makes it permissible for you despite the state that you find yourself in. It makes it permissible for you to perform something which requires a state of tahara. So it doesn't make raf of the hadith. That's the important part to understand at this particular juncture. Okay. Having said that, we now look to the first integral, the first rukun. And the first rukun would be naqlu turab. And naqal here, I've translated it as accessing, or if you wanted to moving, I think working through, particularly in preparation for our next lesson, perhaps the word transferring would be better. So there needs to be a transferal of the turab. You need to transfer the turab. Now, if a person is standing in the middle of a sandstorm, and oh, his limb, the sand already on his limb, can he just basically wipe there over? To the best of my understanding, that is not going to be valid, because the first condition would be naqlu turab, that you need to transfer the dust, either from the ground or from elsewhere. So, أي تحويله من أرض أو هواء إلى العضو الممسوح. The first integral of tayammum is تحويله. A person must transfer the sand, the dust, من أرض, from the ground, أو هواء, or from the atmosphere. Person is in a sandstorm, he raises his hands like this, and then the sand accumulates on his hands, he knocks it, and then he performs the tayammum. أي تحويله من أرض أو هواء إلى العضو الممسوح. He must transfer the dust from the ground or from the atmosphere إلى العضو الممسوح, to the limb that is going to be wiping. It's either going to be the face or it's going to be the arms, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We now move on to the next integral, the next fard. The next fard, as stated earlier on, was the intention. In other words, the niyyah. What is the niyyah in this particular regard? هي نية استباحة ما يفتقر إلى التيمم كفرض الصلاة. So here in terms of the explanatory notes provided in the sharh of Bayan and Ta'rif, it says, what should the niyyah be? نية استباحة. It is an intention, like we mentioned a moment ago. It is not an intention of رفع الحدث. It is not an intention of raising the impurity. But rather, it is an intention of استباحة, making something permissible. Making what permissible? ما يفتقر إلى التيمم, that which requires a tayammum. In other words, that which requires a tayammum. The example given here would be كفرض الصلاة, like the فرض صلاة, like the فرض prayer. تمام. So وهي نية استباحة ما يفتقر إلى التيمم كفرض الصلاة. The intention to make permissible that which requires a tayammum, for example, كفرض الصلاة, like a فرض صلاة, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now, when we make that specific intention, and now it's important just for us to hold our heads, because depending on the type of intention that you're going to make, the type of istibaha that you're going to make, it's going to license you to do certain things. Look, if you make, for example, wudu, let's take wudu, that's like mutlaqan, unrestrictedly. A person says, nawaitu fardal wudu. Now he makes the wudu, what
is he licensed to do with that particular wudu? He can do anything. Why? Because the hadath, the ritual impurity has been removed. So he makes nawaitu raf' al wudu, he is in a state of wudu, he can perform a fard salah, he can perform a mandub salah, he can perform a sunnah salah, he can perform salatul janazah, he can perform a salah, thereafter he can perform a tawaf, he can perform multiple salahs. That is when a person performs wudu, he makes raf' al hadath. When we now come into the realm of our discussion, he is now performing a dry ablution. When a person performs a dry ablution, what intention is he making? Not that of raf'ul hadath. He's making an intention of istibaha. So depending on which istibaha he's making, he's going to be licensed to do certain things. So in light of the example that we gave now, a person says, nawaitu tayammum listibahati fardhi salah. I'm going to perform tayammum in order to make a fard salah. In order to make a fard salah permissible for him. So if we take that specific intention, so and we extend that. So the thing, the text reads, the extension of this specific intention. What does it mean now? وَاسْتَبَاحَ بِهَذَا التَّيَمُّمْ فَرْضَ الصَّلَةِ. He has, through this particular intention of istibaha, which is the highest level. So if you're making the highest level of intention, then everything else further downstream is considered to be permissible. In other words, you are licensed and enabled to do that. وَاسْتَبَاحَ بِهَذَا التَّيَمُّمْ. So when you make this particular niyyah, then the following fard salah becomes valid, a single fard salah as you will learn it, wa naflaha, and the nafl for that salah, wa ghayrahuma, and anything else besides that, kamassi mushafin wa nahwihi. I think just also for purposes of our class, so we basically moving incrementally and developing an understanding of the concept of tayammum. So what I would say now is, in terms of your mind space, just think that you're going to do one act. Just to make things very simple for now. You are performing tayammum, and with that tayammum, you want to perform one act. So now, you have made an intention of istibahat fardhi salah. So you got a license. That license is such that you can perform the fard salah, and you can perform anything else, which is on the same level or further downstream. Now, you decide, I'm not going to perform the fard salah, I want to make a fard tayammum. Can you? Yes, you can perform, not a fard tayammum, sorry, a fard tawaf. Can I make the fard tawaf? Yes, you may. And that is basically the idea behind that. Now, in the cases mentioned now, a person does not make istibaha of a fard salah. He makes istibaha of something else. What are they? If a person makes istibaha of, number one, a supererogatory prayer. In other words, a nafil prayer. Now, he's going to make salatul istikhara and I perform sayammum. Or for a recommended prayer, a sunnah prayer, or circumambulation. The person, I need to make a sunnah salah. So now, nawaitu istibaha sunnata salat al-duha. It's the time of duha, the time of ishraq, and now he makes a tayammum for that. So he makes istibahat salat al-duha. Or he attends a janazah. There's no water, and now he performs tayammum. His niyyah for that tayammum is istibaha, to make it permissible for him to perform the janazah salah. And he articulates that either verbally, or that is his consciousness in terms of his heart space. With this tayammum, any of the aforementioned, with this tayammum, a person may execute the following. He can make a supererogatory prayer, he can make a recommended prayer or circumambulation, he can make salatul janazah, or he can make sajatul tilawah. Very importantly, he may not perform a fard prayer. And this is the important part really, because he has made istibaha as-salah, salatul duha. So if you look at the fard salah and look at the nafil salah here, it falls below the fard salah. So because he made an intention of the istibaha of the sunnah salah, he can go downwards, yes, and do something else that falls downstream, but he can't move upstream. So therefore, with that particular niyyah of istibaha of a sunnah salah, he can't perform a fard salah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We move on to the next slide, bi'idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, still remaining with the same idea. The idea here would be making istibaha. Now, what if a person says, وَلَوْ نَوَى إِسْتِبَاحَةَ مَا عَدَى الصَّلَاةِ وَالطَّوَافِ. A person makes an intention of istibaha for something other than the prayer and other than tawaf. Like, for example, كَمَسِّ الْمُصْحَفِ. He makes an intention to to touch the mushaf, wa hamli, and to pick it up, wa sajdati tilawa, and he makes an intention to perform sajdatu tilawa, wa nahwi dhalika, etc. Istabaha afrada hadhi al-martabati faqat. So with that particular intention, he's only now licensed to perform the units that fall on the same category, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So now, when we looked at the previous slides, what did we find? We find that the person made an intention of a recommended prayer. Now a person is making an intention of touching the mushaf, by way of example. It's nothing to do with salah and tawaf, because that is all recommended. He's now looking at something, like the mushaf. Touching the mushaf is considered to be on a lower level than a recommended prayer. So now we have three levels altogether. The first level is a person makes istibaha to fard salah. A person makes istibaha for salah, that's the highest. With that particular istibaha, you can do anything downstream, and everything else will fall downstream. The next one would be when a person makes istibaha of a salah. What not istibaha to fard salah. You make istibaha in sunnah salah, for example, like salatul duha. The last one would be when he makes istibaha of a recommended act other than salah and other than tawaf. That falls on the lowest category. And who makes that type of istibaha, as we mentioned a moment ago, he can only do what is on that particular level, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We now want to give a synopsis in terms of what we have covered so far, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When making istibaha of a given act, we need to look at that given act. We need to look at the action. Is it a fard act or is it a recommended act? Now, very importantly here, we don't look at whether you require wudu to do it. For example, masul mushaf, you require wudu to do it. But touching the mushaf in the first place, is it like wajib that every day you have to touch the mushaf? No, it's not. So touching the mushaf is considered to be like a recommended act or mubah act, if you wanted to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. In order to touch it, you need wudu. But touching it in and of itself, is that a fard? You must touch the mushaf every day? No, you don't have to. So when making istibaha of a given act, we need to scrutinize the act. If it is a fard act, if it is a fard act, now a maghrib time is setting in. So I'm going to perform tayammum for a fard salah. So istibaha bihada tayammum. So by means of this particular istibaha, I'm making istibaha of an act which is fard. Then what can I do with this istibaha? I can make salah, I can make that fard salah, I can make the nafil salah, and anything else. I can touch the mushaf with that particular tayammum, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. If it is a recommended act, now again, the masul mushaf is something which, sunnah salah by way of example. Then if a person makes istibaha of that, he can do whatever is on the level of the recommended act and lower, but he can't go upstream as we have been discussing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. That is really the main discussion of today's class. What I mean by main discussion would be the aspect that you really need to wrap your head around, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The others all flow very simply, inshallah, and fairly easy to understand. We now go on to the issue of we furthering our discussion in terms of the intention. We spoke about the nature of the intention. What must the intention be? Not raf'ul hadath, but istibaha. And with istibaha, there's quite a bit of detail that we have looked at. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Furthermore, Ba'afadl says, وَيَجِبُ قَرْنُهَا بِوَضْعِ الْيَدِ عَلَى التُّرَابِ وَاسْتِدَامَتُهَا إِلَى مَسْحِ شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْوَجْهِ. It is necessary that the intention be connected. We know that, how do we define the niyyah? Niyyah, lughatan, basically means al-qasd, to intend. But istilahan, what does it refer to? It refers to al-qasd al-makroon bil-fa'l. It is the intention which is connected to the action that you are going to be doing. So when it comes to tayammum, you must have the intention. وَيَجِبُ قَرْنُهَا. This intention must be connected. بِوَضَعِ الْيَدَ عَلَى التُّرَابِ. When you place your hands on the ground, عَلَى التُّرَابِ. Now, this is the added part. وَاسْتِدَامَتُهَا. One must maintain that particular intention إِلَى مَسْحِ شَيْءٍ مِنَ الْوَجْهِ. Up until you wash a part of the face. So now, maybe just practically, if you can look at it, I make the intention now. نَوَيْتُ التَّيَمُمْ لِاسْتِبَاحَةِ فَرْضِ الصَّلَاةِ. I have the intention and I knock. From the time I make that intention, it's connected to my knocking of the of the ground in order to get that dust producing ground, earth, anakande. Then I need to maintain that intention up until, from the time I've done it, I must maintain consciousness of intention until I wipe my face. That is basically what Ba'afadl is mentioning. Now we have a bit of ikhtilaf in this particular regard. To understand this issue, if I knock my hands on the ground, and then in the interim, from the time that I knock my hands up until the time that I wipe my face, I become unmindful of the intention, then according to what is in the text, that intention will not be valid, and as a consequence, my tayammum is not going to be valid. So that is the view of Shaykhul Islam and Ibn Hajar. How does it read? It says, if a person is unmindful of the intention prior to wiping his face, in other words, he was conscious when he knocked the earth about the intention, but then he becomes unmindful of the intention prior to wiping his face, then the tayammum will be invalid, even if he is conscious at the time of wiping his face. So the person is conscious when he knocks the ground, he becomes unmindful, and then conscious again when he wipes his face. So it was an interim period of unmindfulness. According to Shaykhul Islam Zakaria Ansari and Ibn Hajar, his intention is compromised, and therefore the tayammum is not valid. According to Khatib al-Sharbini and Imam al-Ramli, if the intention is there when striking the earth and then lapses, but is found when wiping the face, then the tayammum will be valid, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We go on to the next integral, bi-ibnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the third integral reads, Mashu jami'il wajhi. That is to wipe the entire face. So what a person is going to do is, you're going to knock on the ground, then you're going to remove the excess dust or sand, and then you're going to first wipe your face. What is the proof for that? The qawli ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِنْ. Then wipe your faces. That's the important part here. It is not necessary, and neither is it recommended, to cause the sand to reach the roots of facial hairs, even if it is thin, because of the difficulty. We know that when you're washing your face, and you have a sparsely populated beard, a person sitting like 1 or 1.5 meters in front of you, and they can actually see the skin through your strands. That means your beard is sparsely populated. Must you wash the skin under the sparsely populated beard? Yes, you have to do that. However, when it comes to tayammum, you need not do that because of the difficulty. However, the face needs to be rubbed entirely, particularly where the dust will not reach, like the canthus of the eye. In other words, this area over here, you know, this area over here. So when you knock your hands on the ground, you remove the excess, then you wipe your face. Care should be taken that dust is, you know, not in your eye now, but this area here and this area here needs to be wiped, in order that you ensure that the dust has reached those particular parts, and Allah SWT knows best. Now, Ar-Rabi, number 5, now reads as Mashul Yadaini Ma'al Mirfaqaini. If we can run through those conditions again, the first one was Naqlu Turab, you must transfer the dust to your limbs, number 1. Number 2 is you must make the intention. Number 3 is you must wipe the face. Number 4 is you must wipe the arms. Yadain, the word Yad refers to the area from here up until the shoulders. But here, as Ba'afadl mentions here, ma'al mirfaqain, up to and including the elbows. So in other words, the same extent that you were going to wash in terms of wudu, you're going to wipe in terms of tayammum, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. What is the recommended manner in terms of doing that? So our scholars explain, and again in the pre-recording I've run through this, and we'll do it now in terms of the live session as well, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It basically goes as follows. So if I were to like basically just roll my arms up now, so what am I going to do? I'm going to start wiping the right arm. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to place my, so I knock like this and I do this. So now what happens is the sand is over here. So I'm going to do my right arm first. So I'm going to place my left fingers. I'm going to place it at the back of my right arm. I'm going to be wiping like this. We shouldn't be doing this where the fingers protrude from the front, but rather it should be like this. Now, once I do this, I now draw my fingers of my left hand down. When I come to the wrist, and then I'm going to grab a hold of the side of my arm like this, and I'm going to pull it down to the elbow. When I come to the elbow, so the back part of my hand I turn around in this particular manner, and now I do the inside. And when I come back to the top, the back, now the back of, this is where my, I didn't do my thumb yet. So the back of my thumb goes, the back, the front of my left thumb goes onto the back of my right thumb. And then I wipe it like that, right? And that basically comes to an end. So just for the practical purpose, we're going to work through the text again. So now I'm going to do my left arm. So how do I do my left arm? I've already knocked, so now there's dust on my side. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to place my right hand now, the fingers of my right hand, on the back of my left arm. Not in a way that protrudes like this, but in a way that's like this. And then what I do is I'm going to draw I'm wiping now. When I come to the wrist and then I like envelope my hand, I hold on to that part like this, to the side. I hold on to that and I bring my arm down. I bring my, so I've wiped now the outer side. Then I turn in this way and I wipe now the inner part. And again, when I come to the thumb part, then I take my right thumb now and I pass it over my left thumb. And that's basically the recommended way to do the wiping. The author is going to explain that now, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it reads as follows, the recommended manner. What is the recommended manner? أَيَّضَعَ أَصَابِعَهُ الْيُسْرَى سِوَى الْإِبْهَامِ عَلَى ظُهُورِ أَصَابِعِ الْيُمْنَى سِوَى الْإِبْهَامِ. So what does he do? A person places the fingers of his left hand, the fingers of his left hand, other than the thumb, on the back of the fingers of the right hand, other than the thumb. So this is basically what we did earlier on. And this is the left fingers, like this. And we're going to bring it that way. بحيث لا تخرج أنامل اليمنى على مسبحة اليسرى. It shouldn't, the finger shouldn't protrude like this, but rather it should be like this. ويمرها على اليمنى, and then a person should pass it along. فإذا بلغ القو, when it comes to the wrist, ضم أطراف أصابعه إلى حرف الذراع. Then the tips of his fingers, he connects it now to his ذراع, to the side of his arm. ويمرها إلى المرفق, and he brings it down up until the elbow. Then he turns it around. And he brings it up. وَيُمِرُّهَا عَلَيْهِ رَافِعًا إِبْهَامَهُ, lifting his thumb. And then when he comes to the wrist, and then he takes his thumb and passes under, he passes it along the other thumb. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And then he does the same for the other hand. Barakallahu fikum. And then al-khamis, the fifth integral, would be at-tartibu hakadha, that the sequence must be followed. So what are we referring to? At-tartibu bayna masḥi al-wajhi wa masḥi al-yadayn. The sequence in terms of wiping the face first and then the arms. You can't do the arm first and then the face. That's going to be invalid because one of the integrals are not met. This applies irrespective of whether you're performing tayammum in lieu of a wudu that you were supposed to make or in lieu of a ghusl which you were supposed to take. It doesn't matter. The tartib must be followed. One might argue that, you know, in ghusl, there's no real tartib as such. It's inconsequential when you're performing tayammum, whether it is for wudu or for ghusl. Excuse me. The important part is that the tartib must be adhered to at all times, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. That has now, that's number five, yes, absolutely. That has now brought us to an end of today's lesson. Our next lesson, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would be lesson number 14. And lesson number 14 deals with the conditions, as we mentioned earlier on. The conditions come second really in terms of this particular order. It's going to be dealing with the conditions of tayammum bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. If you do have any questions, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, relating to the lesson or otherwise, please feel free to ask. Barakallahu feekum jami'an. And sorry for the delay in terms of the starting of the class. That's the nature of a live class. Every now and then one has some technical glitches or the other, but alhamdulillah, all's well that ends well. Barakallahu feekum jami'an. Marhaba. Brother Saeed, how come tawaf is the same level as sunnah and not fard? If you making my understanding, wallahu alam, I'd like to research the question would be that if you're making istibahata fardi al tawaf, then I would imagine that you would be able to perform a fard salah because they sort of treated the same. But I don't want to be presumptuous and just answer that question. I'd like to have a look at it and research it, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in terms of istibahata fardi al, you know, fardi al, fardi al tawaf, inshallah, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum. I will research that question, inshallah, and get back to you. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khairan. If that's it for this evening, inshallah, till we meet again next week. Barakallahu feekum jami'an. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Marhaba. Barakallahu feekum.